Was Brother Love here twice, or he just was transformed from the Brother Love to the other guy?
He was transformed. He wasn't here twice. No, I don't think so. Where'd Bill run off to, anyway?
Is he still around the corner?
Is he around the station?
Now?
Still around the corner here?
He's somewhere. But was he here twice, Bob, or...
Brother Love?
Brother Love.
Yeah, he went to WHK in Cleveland when he left his Brother Love and he was Big Bill Love doing middays, 10 to 2 during the day, and then went to WHK in Cleveland
here
to do mornings
now.
And then came back.
Tell about yourself.
Big Bill Love in the morning.
Yeah.
There we go. Let's hear it from the horse's mouth.
You and Hammer and Brother Love there.
Should we really do that?
Between you were Brother Love and came back as Big Bill.
Big Bill Love. I went from Brother on that tape there. Alice Cooper to Bill Love. Went to WHK in Cleveland.
Okay.
And the all-night man is not on that tape there, but the all-night guy was Jonathan Stone,
mm-hmm.
and he and I went to Cleveland together.
How the hell was Cleveland HK to work for?
Cleveland was nice. When they had the Cleveland riots, they parked the half-tracks in our parking lot.
Good.
And when I arrived there, I just bought a new car. I'm going to Cleveland.
Mm.
Bought a brand new car. Pulled up in the parking lot, went in to say hi to the people at the station. My new employers came back out, and the trunk was up. My spare tire was gone. So, welcome to Cleveland.
Glad to have y'all.
Yes. Oh, that's so. So then I came back, and I was here through '76, and then went to WBKR in Owensboro, Kentucky, for 14 years. At the same place, and just recently went to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to WDOD.
Great. How do you like it in Chattanooga?
Oh, Chattanooga's great. I kind of miss this nice weather in Louisville, though.
Oh.
I miss the smell of the soybean factory. Yes, I really miss that.
We had a nice smell in the air yesterday morning. I don't know what soybean, though.
It was lovely over in New Albany yesterday afternoon as we were heading over to the ranch house last night.
The ranch house?
Yes, we went to the ranch house last night.
You guys went to there. Well, I was listening as I came in last night because this station carries south forever.
Sure.
But you go 10 miles west, and you can't pick it up at all.
Well, last night at 2:30 in the morning, the rock and roll pig, Ron Lake, who was on yesterday morning, Ron calls from Nashville, and he says, y'all booming in down here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and south it did, but the east, that's why in the ratings, you would always notice the ratings, especially at night. Out at Valley Station, Fairdale, mm-hmm. Oklahoma, KLO was strong. You get over to the east end, though, and wacky. Right. It was wacky.
And nothing in Indiana.
Sure.
Even though the tower that we're coming to you from right now is in Floyd Knobs.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's still in Floyd Knobs, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's over there. You cannot hear the radio station a mile north of the tower. Mm-hmm. It all goes south. That's why I always thought country would do well here, you know, because you're aimed right down through... You know, Fern Creek
country territory.
Speaking, we beat WAMZ.
Speaking of country, let's get back to you. We took a break there to listen to some air checks. Wretched Richard, Richard Braun.
Hey, Wretched Richard, the all aluminum luminary.
Yeah, that's great. When did you use that? Now that was on WINN.
Yeah,
right?
WINN. Yeah. Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati. I was the Cincinnati Wretch. I think I was the Cincinnati. Modified that a little bit here.
The Cincinnati Wretch.
Yeah, the Wretch.
I like that.
I was going to ask Brother Love. Is he still around the corner? If he knew Roy Cooper up there in Cleveland. But that's a little off the subject. You were going to talk about something else.
We were going to talk about AMZ. You've been at AMZ for...
1982, I came in there.
AMZ is a phenomenon. They've been playing country music 100,000 watts. You're doing real well over there. We worked together for 6 years.
That's right. And taught me a lot. Following the Tad Murray system, I learned a lot.
Yes, indeed. Well, when I left there, my IQ went up about 30 points in 2 months. So, you're doing great over there. Really are.
Yeah, things are going fine. Coyote keeps things hopping along there. He's good man to work for.
Yes, he is. Show he is. Bobby Jack's still there.
Jack Murphy. Yes, I remember him. I saw him yesterday.
Dan Robinson, who replaced me in the night
shift. I heard you two together yesterday. Yeah. I didn't realize you both started over there the same day.
We sure did.
April
of 82. Dan got into radio. What turned him on was the other 98 Club from KLO years ago, and they had him on, and he goes, well, I got to be a disc jockey after this.
And, he can see, that's another thing. You guys can remember those things back then, and I don't. That's another reason I came here, to have you refresh my memory so I know what I did between 68 and 71.
Did you have these little ups and downs?
Yeah.
Well, I think I remember you. Yeah, here's something I want to bring up. You gave this to us. This is Toys for Tots.
Mm-hmm.
1970, and of course, Toys for Tots. You give a toy for a kid.
Yeah, the Marine Corps Reserve used to put that on, and WKLO was active in it for many years in succession.
Okay, let me get to line two here. We got somebody on the phone, and then I want to read you a lineup from the 1970 Toys for Tots. Okay, on the telephone. Hey, KLO, who's this? this?
This is Doug.
Hi, Doug. How you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good. I was listening, heard Dick Braun there.
Here I am.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
Do you remember Todd Roberts?
Todd Roberts? Where should I remember him from?
Well, he replaced you 10 to 2 in, like, 71.
Where, here in WKLO?
Yes.
No, I don't remember him. I remember John Rohde replaced me in Cincinnati, and I remember... what else do I remember? I don't remember him. What time was I on? 10 to 1 o'clock or something, wasn't I?
Yeah, 10 to 2, I believe.
Yeah, for a while I was on between 1 and 3 or something like that on WKLO. Seemed like I came on the air after Jack Sorby, and then Carl Truman Wigglesworth came on at 3 o'clock, if I recall correctly. No, I don't remember Todd Roberts. I mean, J. Paul Roberts was a newsman. J. Paul Roberts was news, along with Ken Knight, Alan Bryan, who is here, and who else did we have in the news? Reed Yaden, of course. Reed Yaden.
Oh, Reed's on the phone. We're going to talk to him in a minute.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's on the phone, yeah.
He knows a lot of things, too. Yeah, what's your name, Doug?
Doug.
Okay.
I was trying to find out if Todd Roberts, who was there in 71, is the same guy who was Chuck Stevens in 73.
No, I can't help you on that.
Got me.
I was talking to Rusty Rogers last night, and he said, well, I came in 74, so he didn't know either. And I was just wondering, because I've got, like, on the surveys, their pictures, and, I mean, they look almost identical. Mm. And then Rusty said, no, I think they were just twins, but I'm not sure. So, anyway, I'm planning on coming by today with some of the memorabilia that I've got. And I talked to you yesterday, Tad.
Oh, great, man.
And so I'll be down probably after a while.
Roll it down, show it to us. Thanks, Doug.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
It's KLO, and on the phone should be Reed Yaden. Hello, Reed.
Hey, greetings, greetings.
How's the weather, Reed? How is the...
Hot and humid, Braun.
Hey, partner, what you been up to, boy?
Just a little bit of everything. I heard one guy in there that I couldn't resist calling.
Who's that?
Alan Bryan.
Alan Bryan, here you are.
Bring Alan on.
Hey,
Alan, take
the guy still sounds like $1 million on the air.
Yeah, he does. Alan Reed's on the phone.
Hey, Don.
Okay, he's ready.
What you know, kid?
Hey, not much, Alan. I tell you, I couldn't resist the opportunity to call and reminisce a little bit about some of the activities we got into as news people.
Yeah.
Some of which we probably can't tell on the air.
Go ahead.
I've got to say this.
Everything goes this weekend.
When I look back on my career, whatever degree of success I have, I owe a lot of it to Alan.
Thank you.
He was a super boss. At the time, I may not have thought so, but he taught me a lot of what I still remember, and it was a fun time when we worked together.
Sure was.
And that was the time when our news department was hot. Whatever was happening, we flat covered it in all directions.
And everything else.
So. Yeah.
We covered the things that people didn't even care that we covered.
I remember I heard somebody mention the Carnival Club a while ago. Remember when I don't know who it was, somebody came up with the idea for our traffic condition reports that we ought to put the red light in the control room.
Right.
And when we had a traffic condition report, we hit a button, the red light would let the jock know to put us on. And it seems like when we first started that, the people in the Carnival Club, every time the red light would come on, they'd all come outside thinking it was a raid or something. The other thing, a lot of people may not realize this, Alan was really Bill Bailey's first straight man.
Right. Yeah.
And Alan really set the mold for the way you work with Bailey. And a lot of whatever success I had in working with Bailey, I owe to Alan, because I remember Alan saying, I said, Alan, what's it like working with a guy? And he'd say, hey, you got to let him run the thing. Your job is just to kind of react and keep him on track. He's in the gutter. You're the straight guy.
That's right. Go with the flow.
And the other thing we used to do, remember the daily rag we used to put out and distribute it to Frisch's and a lot of other places?
Right, the news sheet,
yeah.
Headline sheet. Right.
Yeah, the morning headlines, or
right.
the day's headlines, I guess.
Right.
We'd grind that thing out every day, print it. We had our own print shop in the basement and distribute multiple copies of that thing up and down 4th Street and a few other places.
Right.
And, WKLO has always been an innovator. From the standpoint of not only on the technical side, but also on the air side. We were doing things technically there that were pretty advanced for the time.
Right. What years were you there, Reed? I don't remember exactly the time frame.
Oh, Lord. It was from the, the late 60s to the early 70s. Went away to the Army for a while
mm-hmm.
in between and came back and... picked up where we left off.
Right.
I remember we started a thing. Carol Matheny was probably sampling the waters and realized that radio was going to have to be more music-driven, at least our form of radio, so we decided that in the evenings we would not do scheduled newscast anymore. So we started a thing called Continuous News, and I went to Alan. I said, hey, is this, you know, are they telling me something? And
you were working at night, right?
Pardon me?
You were working at night then as a newsman.
At that point.
We're going to cut out all the newscasts, but you still work at night.
Right. I couldn't understand this. Alan, tell me, what's going on? And, you know, Alan was always up front with you. He was always straight, and he said, no. He said, it's just a new direction we're going. He said, it's, you know, it's a continuous news format. When you have something, you put it on then. I think we did an 11:55 wrap-up.
Right.
I remember a couple of other things that Alan rules of the house, if you will, and they were good rules. The word today is a meaningless word to use in a news story. I still can't use it. And we used to refer to, somebody would occasionally write a story and refer to young people as youths.
Youths.
Hey, those are sheep.
Right.
Hey, it all made sense after you stood back and looked at it. Alan was, and is, I'm sure still, a detail guy. Alan really looked after the minute details of running the news operation, and I think that's one of the things that made that operation so successful.
Mm-hmm.
Alan was there. He was either there or available by phone 24 hours a day, and knew what was going on and managed to take, at that time, it was a large staff of radio, but looking back, it was a small staff, but Alan managed to schedule things, and we covered a lot of ground.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the interesting things, Reed, I think you sort of alluded to, is that we really were always innovating technically in terms of how the equipment was set up and shortcutting things, and the engineering staff was great in terms of, you know, you go to them and say, look, we've got this problem in terms of how we, you know, record actualities off the telephone or something like that, and they come in and manufacture some little, workaround for us on it.
Yep, they were constantly.
Really did a super job in supporting us all the time.
We had a very good support staff. Well, Pete Boyce, of course, is still around, and Bruce Clark, I think Bruce retired.
He did,
yes.
And he's in, the last time he was in Mount Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Jerry is still around, and, Norm Snyder was a neat guy that we worked with for quite a while.
Well, one thing, I don't know if you remember this, that was a big thing with me is on election coverage that it just really bothered me that people are always doing this, and now we'll go to so-and-so at such-and-such, and then the person there says, and this is so-and-so, and now we'll switch to somebody else somewhere else. And we developed this off-the-air queuing system where we had, instead of just the broadcast line, we also had, which television uses all the time now.
Right.
We had an off-the-air queue circuit where we could talk to each other and in effect, tighten up the production on those kinds of programs so we didn't have all this, you know, and here's so-and-so and here's somebody else. You just told them off the air, when you get through, you know, you sign off and we'll go directly to somebody else. The other guy can hear it off the air. He picks it up. And, you know, we tried to tighten up the production on shows like the election night coverage.
Well, that was something you came up with that at the time was very advanced.
Mm-hmm.
We were the only ones using it.
Right.
And now, like you say, it's commonplace in TV. You wear a little earpiece, and the producer will tell you where you're going and what's coming up next.
Sure.
It goes on and on and on. But I think that the thing I remember most is that management, at least in the period of time when I was there, and Alan was my immediate superior, was always thinking, always innovating, always thinking, never sitting still. They were always a moving target.
Mm-hmm.
It was an exciting period of time there.
Well, you know, back then too, it seems like things have changed so dramatically over the last 15 or 20 years. But you had a good number of the stations in Louisville with full news departments and fighting over the news.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Mm-hmm.
Tooth and nail. You know,
Wave was active at that point. HAS to some degree, not to the point they are now, but they were active. Wacky, of course, was a competitor. And Alan, would always manage to position us in our own niche, to where we really didn't sound like any of the other guys, and some of the things that they would cover, we would, but we always managed to have an angle or have a story or have an exclusive or have a piece of tape that the other guys didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And the credit for that really goes to Alan.
Thank you, sir.
Very, very innovative, Alan. And, man, I heard your voice on the air, and you haven't missed a lick.
I've been out of it for 19 years, Rick.
Has it been that long?
Yes.
God, I don't believe it.
what are you doing now, Alan?
I've been involved in personnel consulting for the last 5 years. I own my own company and do consulting for local companies in Louisville.
Do you get old disc jockeys' jobs?
No. No, we haven't done that.
Reed,
haven't done that recently.
Reed, yeah. You've been managing to feed yourself rather well for a few years.
Well, you know, been lucky, I guess, as much as anything. And I've got to say that having worked for a guy like Alan was part of the reason, I guess, that I'm still able to whatever success I have today, I have. I didn't know anything when I started to work for Alan. I was I thought I knew everything. Didn't know anything, and looking back, and Alan was very patient and, very forgiving a lot of times when he probably shouldn't have been. I didn't know anything about going out hustling an interview. I was intimidated with the thought of going up to the mayor and asking a question on a particular topic, and Alan was, the great teacher that pushed us on. Of course, we had a couple of other guys working there. We need remember Ken Knight.
We had a pretty large. We had about five or six full-time right. news people at that time.
And of course, Bones and
Bob Henry.
Yep, he passed away what 6-7 months ago.
Right.
And of course, Ken passed away 10-12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We nicknamed him Judge Knight
mm-hmm.
because he covered the court beat for us. Alan again had us doing things that the TV is doing now. He had a beat system set up. We had our beats. By that I mean if the courthouse was your beat, you'd go check the courthouse, you'd check City Hall. Somebody else had, Ken had the judicial system. He checked through all the courts. And we had some ways in there of tracking various cases that we wanted to follow because they were newsworthy. We had certain lists to check on every day, several times a day, that kept us updated on stories that we might be following.
And an abundance of traffic tickets to show for it. You did. Everybody got traffic tickets in the newsroom. Did they not? Yeah.
You
occasionally.
Oh, boy. Somebody wants to say hi to you. Here's a girl you haven't heard from in, probably a couple of years, Reed. Kathleen's here.
Kathleen Brown, of course.
Hi, Reed.
The anchor of WKLO.
That's what I told her. The anchor.
I guarantee you.
30 years.
Kathleen was as responsible for the success of that place over the years as any one individual.
Thank you, Reed.
It's good to hear that you're doing well, Kathleen, and congratulations on your new marriage.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. Reed, what have you been up to lately? What are you doing now?
Just doing weather out of Channel 32 and doing a lot of helicopter flying.
Well, how's the weather, buddy?
Hey, today we got a little bit of sun at the moment, hot and humid, just a typical... typical Ohio Valley summer day.
Hey, we wanted a pro weatherman in here. We got a pro weatherman.
Hey, one day I was getting ready to do the news at 5:30 hour, and I'm sitting in there with Braun.
Uh-huh.
And a thunderstorm was coming up, and I'd never heard Braun use this term, but he called himself the aluminum illuminary.
Yes.
He said, man, you don't want to be caught with me in a thunderstorm. And just the way he said it, the whole thing struck me funny. Broke up, couldn't do the news and all of that.
The all-aluminum luminary. How did you get that name, anyway?
Well, because of the crutches.
Well, I know because of the crutches, but what made you come up with that?
And I used to spend a lot of time with beer cans, too.
He had a weird mind.
Hey, one Bailey story. One day, speaking of beer cans.
Yeah.
This was, now, bear in mind, again, WKLO, the innovator, first station in the area with a showcase studio. It was a big deal in those days. We were on Walnut Street. At 5:00 in the afternoon, traffic was heavy, vehicular and foot traffic, people coming out of the offices. Well, this particular day, we were running a promotion with a client, and they had models in a little window opposite the studio that we would use to display clients' products. These were live models doing the mechanical modeling, where they would freeze in a position, and you can't tell whether they're mannequins or not. And Bailey happened to back in that afternoon after having an extended lunch next door at Kev's.
Yes.
Yes. He was feeling no pain, and he decided to get up in the window with the gals. So here's Bailey in here, mechanical modeling. People going down the street at rush hour, you know, not believing what they're seeing. One of the many Bailey stories. Of course, Alan can probably tell classic Bailey stories on and on and on.
Oh, that's right. Kev's was an institution, too. That's
German restaurant.
Yeah, when I came to work there in, my goodness, 73, I was left a legacy of people who had trekked next door to Kev's.
Yeah.
You've got to live up to this, Bo. You know, don't let them down. And I tried, like Dickie, I tried to for a few years, too. Many years.
Alan can remember this one. We had a rule, and I think it was laid down by Ernie Guthridge. He wanted you, when you were in the showcase studio, by golly, you were going to look sharp. And I don't care whether it was 3 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When the news guys went in to do the news, the last thing you better do before you went through the door was put your coat on. Coat and tie.
Yeah.
And that was one of those rules that, Mr. Know-It-All here had a big problem with, and Alan said, hey, it's the rule. You got to do it. You got to do it at 9 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, in your day, too, were there that many people looking in the window?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, still a popular place.
Great.
And occasionally, you know, there was a little place up the street, Riney's South Sea Bar.
Yeah, Riney's.
And occasionally, at night, one of the fringe benefits of working at night, Alan, thank you for this particular fringe benefit. A couple of the gals would stop by, you know, and they'd stand out front of the window and, how can I say this?
Display?
Yes, they would display.
Yes.
Bill Hennis, Wild Willie one night, quick on the uptake. We're getting ready to go into to the 11:55 news, and Wild Willie is getting ready to sign off. Well, some guy comes by in a car and moons us.
Mm-hmm.
Willie looks up and he says, hey, I don't know who that guy just went by and said hi was, but he didn't have any teeth. Here I go into the 11:55 news after that.
Oh, that's great. That is great.
Wild and crazy times.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they lasted for a long time.
They sure did.
You know, I was wondering if the guys that kicked this off, you know, we talk about, well, we've seen this and we've seen that and we've done this to various degrees. We tried to have a good time. I know we did, all of us.
Right.
I wonder if the guys that started us out in 48 and 50, you know, I wonder if Pee-wee and Randy, you know, went out and had as much fun. It was different, though, for them, I guess. You know.
We had a guy came out, I think when Carl Wigglesworth gave me the job there at WKLO in 68, he put me on for a little training and acclimation at 2 o'clock in the morning, as I recall. I think Al Risen was on something like 10 to 2, and then I would come on from, I guess, 2 until Bailey got there or something like that. And but at 2 o'clock, that Carnival Lounge across the street, was that once called the Orchid or something, too?
Right. Black Orchid or the Orchid Lounge?
I always thought there was an Orchid there. But we used to have this fella, and they had a legend built up about a gray-haired fella, and he would call a cab. And they talked that he comes from a wealthy family, but apparently spent all his time in that lounge, you know. And then to get home, he would call a taxi cab. The taxi would arrive on the opposite side of the street from our KLO studio. And Steve was his name. That's what
Steve,
they called.
Steve, that's right.
Yeah, he gray-haired fella, and he would come out pretty well-dressed with a brown suit and a shirt and a tie. And he would carry an umbrella. And one night he came out and he opened the umbrella on curbside, held it up over his head, and then did a little parachute leap off the curb, then around to the taxi door, and then away they went, you know. I don't know if he did that as a regular thing. I remember one time I saw him do it, and that was part of his routine.
The rumor was, and maybe this is it might have been fiction that just built upon itself, but the rumor was, A, that the guy had money.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of the rumor was that he had I think, an Ivy League education or something.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
But, Crazy Steve.
let me ask you a question, Reed.
Yeah.
the guys that played the records always, it seemed like there were no shortage of, and this was fun back then, too. It seemed like there were no shortage of young ladies who wanted to meet disc jockeys. Did newsmen have groupies?
I don't think so. I don't. Not really. Not to any large degree.
You poor baby.
Yeah,
tell
you know.
The truth, Reed.
We got the disc jockeys cast off. Hey, a guy was impressed that a guy remembered the turntables. That was a Mitch Michael deal, I think.
What, changing the
speed?
Speed the turntables up a little bit. There were certain songs, though, that he would have underlined in there on the playlist that you couldn't do. Frank Sinatra, you couldn't speed up.
Well, Frank Sinatra made millions of dollars singing flat over these years, too.
Right.
That is a fact. Sinatra's, yeah. They did a study on it. All his songs were flat. So anybody can make a living doing that. Remember the Osmonds at Fast Speed? Jackson 5?
Right.
Oh, you know.
Didn't work.
No, it didn't.
Didn't work.
Reed, thanks for calling, man.
Hey, thank you. It was a pleasure. We never had the pleasure of working together there,
no,
but I
didn't.
Listened to you a lot, and you were always a very good, very tough competitor.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, too, I watched you on TV, so
I heard you on TV. Oh, boy, we're telling all our secrets today.
Here we go. No, you all did a great job. I was from originally Lebanon Junction in Bullitt County, and growing up and not having, you know, there wasn't too much to do in Lebanon Junction. If they're still doing it, everybody should be interrelated by now. or alcoholics. That was it. And the big thing, from the time I was a kid, listened to radio and listened to Wacky and KLO and go, boy, I'd like to do that someday. And by golly, I did. And by golly, I had fun.
That's right.
And I'm daggone thankful I'm alive after it, too.
While you're on air, Reed, where'd you do all the... did you work with Bailey at KLO? Did you do some of that by-play with him at KLO?
No, I didn't... I went away to the Army and didn't really get to work with Bailey.
That's
there at,
where you were, huh?
KLO. It was,
that's not the way other people told it in the Army, then, huh?
You were that horse farm in LaGrange.
Reed did one thing that I rue is way back there, Reed took me for a ride in his airplane. In fact, it was sort of a family deal. He and Bob McDonald and I got in a plane out at Bowman, and he flew me to Beckley, West Virginia on a little mission.
Oh, that's right.
And,
golly.
He showed us how to land an airplane on the tabletop, you know? That field they had there, Raleigh County Airport in Beckley.
Pardon
me,
but my mind's running away. What the devil do you do on a mission in Beckley?
Well, I was picking up our child. I think our child was there on a summer expedition or something.
We went. It was late summer, and I think we went and retrieved, I think, your daughter. Was.
Yeah, I think you left me there, as I recall. Maybe you dumped the son. Maybe you had my boy and I with you. I'm not at the work on it. But the other thing was, you once had access to somebody who did some kind of Central American flying, and you offered me a chance.
Call it now.
You offered me a chance to go to Nicaragua on a weekend. You remember back in those days? You could have got me a flight aboard a ship, an airplane, leaving Bowman Field, and you go to Nicaragua and Trinidad, and you're back by Tuesday or something
that
like
was
that.
There was a flying service at Bowman that had a contract to carry the offshore oil drilling people out.
And that was way back before Ortega, and always ruined the thing. I never took it.
Back right after the Wright brothers. And once a month they'd make that trip, and I was flying there at the time, and you know, hey, they were flying a Constellation, if you can remember that.
The triple tail thing, huh?
Yeah, and you could hop a ride with them and go down there and back. You know, it was one of these things where you probably didn't sleep for 4 days or something. Yeah.
That's why you always had good looking suits on, too, right?
That was back before that was when Noriega was in three-cornered pants, as Bailey would say.
Reed's back from Nicaragua. Doesn't he look nice?
Captain
came back from Nicaragua, you know, carrying a fiddle case.
Oh, that's great. Reed, thanks for calling, buddy.
Hey, it's a pleasure. And Alan, it was good to hear you again, man.
Reed, Bob Klein, I just want to tell you that thanks for the conversation last week when I called you. And we got a hold of Bill Bailey. Not Bill Bailey. Well, we got a hold of him, but we also got a hold of Paul Calley.
That's what I understand.
Right. And I believe he wanted to come, but due to prior commitments, he just couldn't.
Right.
And we called him last night for this gig that we were doing over at the Ranch House for the Hi-Fi Club, and he was still at work. So we're going to try again today. We could try probably pretty soon to get a hold of him. We've
great.
Got his phone number.
That'll make a great interview.
Yeah, it will. Well, keep up the good work, partner.
Okay.
And you're still absolutely correct about the weather all the time, right?
Well, yeah. You know, it's doing TV weather is the only job where you can get on the air and lie and not get held for liable.
Yeah. You've been doing it all your life. What the heck?
Hey, it pays the bills.
That's right. Reed, thanks much, buddy.
Okay.
Take care now.
See you later.
All right.